Luyenge, and you know, can we just reorganize ourselves so that we should then see clearly where members of parliament are seated, and then officials must also be at one side. Members of parliament from both houses. Yeah. Yeah. Why are you afraid of sitting here? Alright, then let's get members of parliament seated then. And then the officials then. What about the officials then sitting inside here? They also don't want to see anyone sitting behind their desk. It's even more dangerous with them. I mean, if there are enough seats, we don't have to worry about sitting here. I'm not sure what is really how many members of parliament are here, because I only see three that I know.
The people normally were after the meeting about that.
Yeah.
And I went fully on with this thing. Linda couldn't get it to where I was fully on there.
Oh.
I will then open this meeting. As long as I see that the main parties are here, the ANC and the DA, and then whoever comes to join us then. But before I start this meeting, I must say that since I took over this portfolio, I'm very much impressed by the attendance of DA in this committee. I think, to be honest, the DA is doing very well in this committee. I never had problems about attendance from the DA. Thank you. We did receive apologies from a few members, but others are still coming to join us. Yeah. We did send out the agenda and the documents to members of parliament. But because of the fact that the minister had to attend to a special cabinet meeting, we had then to revise the program until that time. He will be joining us at a later stage. And DG, I need to put it very clear, this meeting is not ours actually. It's your meeting. We are invited to this meeting, but we ended up seeing ourselves taking over. No, it's fine. If the head of a department is not here, which is the politician, then the smaller hand of politicians will take over the department. Let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you. And those members of parliament who tried their best to be part of this meeting today. And you know, we had our own program as parliament, as the portfolio committee, but because of the request from the minister, we had then to postpone some of the issues that we're going to discuss. Looking at the program and issues that were going to be discussed by yourselves here, we said maybe this is an opportunity even for us not going further with our issues, because most of the issues that we're going to discuss are going to be discussed in this workshop. We have a few few people who are caught somewhere in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, who are supposed to be part of, that is the officials, who are supposed to be part of this meeting, but they will join us later. They are still on their way. At least the people often you see Nketeng or and Dr. Mike Spendalotia and come again? Fundisile Mketeng, Monde Maikiso, Razina Oma, Andre Shef, Linda, is it Hali Bosgali? And Dora Nteo. And so on. They are going to. Yesterday, apparently, there was an accident that is between the airport and where they were, so they couldn't be on time for their flight for yesterday. So they had to sleep at the airport. They're joining us this morning. Welcome, Mendude. We were waiting for you in order for us to be able to start with our program. But luckily, we are just about to start because we were told that we are just around the corner. You know, I'm sure it will take us 10 minutes to go through the introduction, because I see that I'm sure the offices are close to me, environmental affairs, because I see everybody here. And you were clever enough because yourself and Nobu Bele, I'm sure in the other family one could answer some, because you always say that. I would ask members of parliament to introduce themselves and also I'm not alone here. I'm running this meeting with my co-chair, which is a Metrigan, a chair of a select committee, NCOP, whom I thought she was going to run this first session, and she told me that because of the age, you must look at the age and try to be flexible. So she hides behind the age. But well, we'll start then by asking members of parliament to introduce themselves. After which then, DG, we are going to ask you and your team to quickly then introduce yourselves, because we are very interested to know who are these people who are here. That is Professor.
Morning, Professor and members. My name is J.J. Skosana, representing the ALC. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. My name is Daryl Worth, member of the National Council of Provinces for the DA.
Morning, quarter persons and members and officials of the department. My name is Luyenge, but my actual name is Zukile, basically from the Eastern Cape, representing the biggest organization in Africa.
Good morning, all. My name is Annette Lovemore. I represent the Democratic Alliance.
Morning, chairperson and official. My name is Gareth Morgan, representing the Democratic Alliance.
My name is Abode, the co-chair and the rest of the staff from the department. My name is Hilda Ndude, representing the Congress of the People. I'm actually been dragged out of bed, chair, by your secretary, because I've really not been well, and the doctor has actually asked me to actually take it easy. But because of the importance of this workshop to our portfolio, I thought I really need to be here, and I think I appreciate that, yeah.
Program in the country, and Moisa Ibeck, as the Section 21 company. So they all, as those entities, are part of this. The DDGs of the department and the chief directors that are responsible for the key areas or the key functions of the department. And we want to say, honourable members, we appreciate the time. The reason why we like this kind of a workshop, we think it can help us to get an understanding of what, firstly, we would have liked to have this workshop before the tabling of the strategic plan, so that you are then part of helping us to shape the strategic priorities of the department. But as much as that did not happen, we still felt it's important that we then clarify ourselves on how we have arrived in terms of those priorities and what is then funded, because the portfolio is huge and we have limited resources, and therefore would therefore be reflecting what we will then deliver on in terms of the resources that have been allocated to us by the National Treasury. So we want to use this opportunity then to share information with you on the strategic plan of the department and each entity, because each entity has got its accounting authority, which is the board, so that we do not speak on behalf of the entities. They themselves speak on their behalf in terms of what is in their strategic plan. So colleagues, starting from Isham then.
Good morning, Honourable Chairs, members. My name is Isham Abada. I'm the DG Corporate Affairs for the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honourable Chairs and Honourable Members. I'm Linda Makuleni, the CEO of South African Water Service.
Good morning. I'm Mojati Makwela, General Manager for Corporate Affairs at the South African Weather Service.
Good morning, I'm Slingsteen Tat, the CFO at Weather Service.
Good morning, members. I'm Nikhel Ndabambi, the Senior Manager Forecasting of the South African Weather Service, also Acting General Manager Operations.
Good morning, I am Judy Belmont. I am Chief Policy Advisor in International Cooperation of the Department of Environment, dealing in particular with climate change.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Lisa McCourt. I'm the Chief Director for Environmental Impact Assessment in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Wazi Mantifeni, Acting Chief Director, Biodiversity Management.
My name is Kumsa Manmutya, Chief Director, Transfrontier Conservation and Protected Areas.
Good morning, members. My name is Qinumzi Kotya, the Chief Director for the Social Responsibility Program of the Department.
Good morning. My name is Edwin Maceda, Chief Director of Facilities Management in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Kamal Pillay. I'm the Chief Director for Information Technology in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning. My name is Henry Valentine. I'm the Manager of the Arctic Program in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Morning, members. My name is Mwete Tufasi. I'm the CFO of SANBI.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Tanya Adamson. I'm the CEO of SANBI.
Good morning. I'm Head Knowledge Policy and Network Management at SANBI.
And your name? Carl Allen Diesel.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Andre Shea. I'm the Chief Director for Marine Resource Management and Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, co-chairs and honourable members. My name is Sally Boy Babella. I'm the Chief Director for Regulatory Services.
Good morning. I'm Nolo Azukodina, Chief Director, Pollution and Waste Management.
Morning, members. My name is Esther Makau. I'm the Chief Financial Officer in the department.
Good morning, members. My name is Gordy Sangwala. I'm Advisor to Minister of Water and Environment.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Daryl Makova. I'm parliamentary
Good morning, Honorable Chairs and everyone. I'm Daru Siwa, the Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, my name is Kirsten Jenny, I'm from PMG.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is June Joseph Salanga, CEO of Indalo Youth.
Themba Mabilane, CFO of South African National Parks.
Honourable Member, good morning. My name is Albi Modise. I'm the Chief Director of Communications.
Co-Chairs, Honourable Members, Salvona. I'm Andrew Zalumas, CEO of the Chimangalisa Western Park.
Morning, Honourable Members. I'm Terry Castor, CFO from the Chimangalisa Western Park.
Good morning. My name is Peter Lugie. I'm the Chief Director of Air Quality Management. Climate change mitigation.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Alf Wills. I'm the Deputy Director General for International Cooperation.
Morning, I'm Kwane the Machine Scholar, Parliamentary Officer in the Digital Office.
Good morning, members. My name is Tim Paul Makoto, Chief Director of Business Performance Management for the Department.
Morning, Tapara Mulawan, Secretariat.
Honourable Member, I see Gary did not introduce herself, but those are the representatives from the Department and the public entities. Unfortunately,
we are divided into as a portfolio committee. Environmental affairs and water affairs, and they don't belong to the same cluster. Water affairs belong to social cluster, and environment belongs to economic cluster. Now, I don't have a choice. I'll have to be in the house tomorrow and members of the portfolio committee, but at about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'm sure that they were supposed to have a chairperson for environment and a chairperson for water. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so difficult. But Minister will also demand to be down if I want down. Yeah, so I just wanted to highlight that, DJ, but maybe you must not think that members of parliament don't take this workshop very seriously. I'm sure this workshop came as a result of the interaction that the minister and yourselves had with us as members of parliament, and also looking at the vastness of both sectors that we're dealing with. So there is never enough time to deal with everything. Hence, then you decided then to host this workshop. And thank you very much for that. And I will also, DG, just a small request that I make, since I had people talking about Sandy, that there are people from Sandy here. I would like to meet with those people during lunch time from Sandy, S-A-N-B-I. Those from Sandy, I would like to meet with them. Let's make it lunchtime or tomorrow lunchtime, but I must have 2 or 1 hour with them, because I'll be visiting that place very soon because of the challenges that keep on coming from that place. But I would like to meet those people. I'm happy to see that we also have a Buhisa Ibek, Indalo Yesu, Isimangaliso, I see the CEOs are here. We are impressed because really some of those entities say to us that there will never be enough time to get proper information that we're supposed to get as members of parliament because of the goodness of this sector that we are meeting teaching. Yeah. And 5 years is too little. We are left now with less than 4 years. 5 years is too little to deal with everybody. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to deal with everybody. Okay, the program as it stands now after it has been revised, we are going to take a presentation from DG on the draft strategic plan, the department. After that, is the transfer of fishery components. Hey, the sooner we finish that thing, the better. And abalone, and then fishing in the Eastern Cape. And then 3, it will be environmental education and awareness. These are some of the items that we're supposed to have dealt with last week, but couldn't because of time. And then the fourth one will be carbon footprint. And then Minister will deal with priorities and overview of the Copenhagen report. And that's one report that I think we should deal with it as soon as possible, because everybody on Bonavi Corridor wants to know who to have the Copenhagen report. But unfortunately, we can't give a report on Copenhagen. The government is supposed to do that. Then we as politicians will deal with whatever we observe as the politicians, but it's proper when the department deals with that. After which, then we'll deal with the climate change and green jobs. And the 8th will be presentation of public entity strategy plans. And then SunPass, Sunday, that is for today. Those are the items for today. And then tomorrow we'll deal with tomorrow. And other by the way, the South African weather services, they must tell us why it's so hot, you know. And that's what
thank you, Honourable Chairs and Honourable Members. The presentation is going to focus on what is covered in the strategy plan as it was tabled last week. Then, firstly,
I'll deal quickly with the overview of the function, the legislative framework, the key performance areas, and the priority indicators as they are also reflected in the national estimates of expenditure as tabled by the Minister of Finance. And then towards the end, the CFO would then present the finances as it was requested that we should have a separate presentation on that. In terms of what then is reflected on that slide, honourable members, we just wanted to make sure that we take on board also the new members of the committee, especially also the select committee, in outlining what the foundation of this department is based on in respect to the Constitution. And Section 24B of the Constitution outlines the right to an environment that's not harmful to the health and well-being of citizens. So it therefore is a matter that must be appreciated that an environment is not a privilege but a right, which is why when we deal with the function in the department, we are quite cognizant of that responsibility that is entrusted on this department by the citizens of this country.
Excuse me, can I ask you something on my document, not about others? Section 24B of the Constitution, why is that not?
Oh, okay. No, I just, yeah, sorry, my apologies. I think when this slide, we made the presentation to cabinet, and they actually, what do you call this? They classified the document. So we're supposed to declassify, and I apologize, I did not do that. No, it's the slides, yeah. No, when cabinet documents, I think there is a few other slides that had that, but it looks like this one did not escape the declassification. So it's supposed to be declassified, honourable members. It also shows that we share the same information that we shared with cabinet to the honourable members of parliament. We are not sifting the information when we bring it here. And then the slide that reflects the problem statement and key areas of concern just gives us the context that we actually reflected on as a department in outlining what the priorities are. And therefore the focus areas of the stress plan are informed by this problem statement. We had a state of the environment report that was compiled as an independent report, yes, sponsored by the department, but with a participation of a range of scientists and other officials from other departments. And that report was then published in 2007. And we then updated every 5 years. So in terms of that report, I'm just going to highlight the key issues that we reflected upon. We reflected on the fact that South Africa is amongst the world's 20 biggest greenhouse gas emitters. Greenhouse gases made up of carbon dioxide and a number of other gases, honourable members, which are not desirable if they are in excessive concentrations in the atmosphere. They then cause a number of other challenges, one of them being climate change or global warming, and we can reflect also on the others. The report also indicated increases in water pollution and poor air quality, that then as a result of which you have the people's health being compromised, in relation to in some cases people would suffer respiratory diseases, or there would be vector-borne diseases, cholera. You've heard about it in a number of areas in the country, and so on. So we thought we should just indicate that we have the base reason why we are focusing very much also in our strategy in terms of air quality management. It is also informed by that finding in the report. Poor waste management and lack of access to waste services, in particular hazardous waste management, is a big issue. Healthcare waste, as you might be aware of the recent media reports about illegal dumping of medical waste in the Free State and in other areas which we have not probably yet uncovered. We have issues with mine dumps that have not been rehabilitated, and a sludge or leachate that would be moving from, say, a source, maybe in some instances, the waste dump itself, or even the mine dumps, and that then causes a number of other problems in the environment, and also in the health, can be contributing to the health, bad health status of our citizens. In respect to the fauna and flora, which is our plants and animals that you find in our protected areas, whether in Kruger or even in other areas that are not protected, there is an indication that these are being exploited in an unsustainable manner, which then would threaten the functioning of ecosystems and may undermine the very ideals of social development and economic development. And this is a matter, honorable members, that tends to escape people. When people talk about economic development, there's always an emphasis about the economic development, not understanding the base of the environment that economic development would be relying upon. Then the issues of the quality of the aquatic ecosystem that are declining, both even in terms of our coastal environment because of dumping of waste and other chemicals. Our wetlands are estimated to be converted to other land uses or destroyed, about 50% of them, which we have to make sure that we either find a way to rehabilitate or at least minimize the level of degradation. And wetlands are important for regulation of water flow, and they act as filtration systems. If we had the integrity of the wetlands to what they are naturally, we would not necessarily have to purify water. You can drink directly from the wetlands, and that water should be healthy for drinking, or meet the drinking level standards that are outlined also legally. And then I have then outlined in the next slide the key areas of concern in detail, and I will not go through all of them, but I'll just highlight in each slide two or three areas. In respect to water resources, again, honorable members, as much as this portfolio is in the ministry, we have a minister of water and environment. Water is still a natural resource, and we deal with it as such, and it has to be protected then on that basis. In terms of the current levels of inland water resources, there is indications that the water that's available is becoming less and less, or is becoming reduced, and it, to an extent that it will not meet the requirements of development, whether talking economic development in the long run, but let alone that you still need a certain level of water that is not taken for use because it has to support the natural environment, what some people might refer to as ecological reserve. So you need water to continue to have the plants growing, soil enrichment, they act as carbon sinks, and also for beauty and recreation. So just for those other basic needs for the ecosystem, we might be running out of water in the long run. The increasing rate of alien invasive species spread is also threatening our biodiversity integrity and water resource availability. Honorable members, we have a number of plants or even animals in some instances that have been imported in our country, both for beautification in gardens, but in other instances for industry development like leather tannins, forestry. You have gum trees, pine trees, acacia, black wattle, or even green wattle. Those are not natural in the South African ecosystem, but they are important for the timber industry. And as such, the way they have been grown, they have been grown in catchment areas where they tend to absorb lots of water and waste that water. And at the same time, they outcompete our natural vegetation because they don't have the natural enemies available to actually control their growth. So they grow at alarming rates compared to our natural vegetation. So the Working for Water program in underwater assets is a very important environmental program that helps in making a contribution towards managing the spread of alien invasive species. And the department also has produced regulations that should help us to deal with that. Wastewater pollution in the marine environment also has continued to happen unabated, and the Coastal Management Act, which was passed and approved or signed off by the president, is the law that would help us to control this level of pollution. And further, the control of coastal development. Isimangaliso Wetland Authority, Mr. Andrew Zulumas might reflect on this. You might have seen him or been quoted in the newspapers on breaking down structures that have been developed illegally along the coast, in the coastal zone, which is in the Isimangaliso wetland area. So those are some of the things that we are responding to as challenges. Indoor air quality concerns, things that are as small as making fire indoor, because there is still a number of people that rely on wood to make fire at home. And the way they make that fire, they still expose themselves to possible health problems. As a department, we have a campaign that is helping people to be educated or be provided with the awareness of managing or making water, making fires that do not, in a manner that it does not necessarily affect their human lives. The next areas of concern, again, reflect the unsafe ambient pollutant concentrations that would be in our air and even on the roads, especially in our towns where street sweeping is no longer something that is important. You have problems there where that soot ends up in the drainage areas, and if there is rain, because those streets are not being cleaned with all the things, the fumes that come from exhaust pipes, you are likely to have rodents in that area, and you might also have other health problems for those citizens. So these are things that are basic that as a country we think are important to be advocated by this Department of Environment as they relate to the quality of health and also to the quality of the environment. Further on, I think I do want to just also say that we also share the area of impacts that relate to the impacts of mining activities on the environment and the natural resources, because acid mine drainage and does go beyond the zoned area of a mine. So if a mine is authorized in a one concentrated area, chances of the effects and the impacts of that would be felt somewhere down in the other communities down the line, and it is a matter that is not, I don't think we have a common understanding of the seriousness of it with our colleagues in the other departments, especially the Department of Mineral Resources. And it's a challenge that we have to face, and I think the committee, if you have joint committees, this is an area that I think we would recommend that a joint committee sitting is important to just have a discussion on, yes, the development opportunities and priorities that link to the mining activities and the long-term effects that remain within the environment, and also the damages that can happen to the human health. We also generally acknowledge that in the environmental sector we have challenges of applied research capacity that has stagnated over a number of years, and it's estimated around 10 years in terms of innovation and implementation of cleaner solutions and technologies. It's not good enough for us to outline the challenges. We have to move beyond that and innovate and be able to offer solutions, alternative solutions, in terms of some of the things that we say are quite bad for the environment. The stratospheric ozone depletion results in the UV, which is ultraviolet B radiation levels, remaining dangerous during summer months. That is the sun that comes directly without the whole filtering in the atmosphere, may cause skin cancers or other skin damages to citizens. And these are related to the emissions that get to the atmosphere. Land degradation challenges and soil erosion remain a serious challenge, while our partners or the Department of Agriculture has an interest in producing food, but the productive potential of land is dependent on how best that land is managed, and because of land practices that are not good for sustainable harvesting, we do have serious challenges in our country of erosion. And our reliance on fossil fuels is another key matter that continues to confront us, which goes along with increases in water usage, increase in greenhouse gas emissions, and production of waste increases. In terms of then the overview of the functions, we have an environmental quality and protection function, and which is key in terms of improving the quality of the environment and making sure that we can guarantee a safe environment to the health of the South African citizens. In respect to biodiversity and conservation, again here we promote the conservation and sustainable use of natural resources to improve or contribute to economic growth and poverty alleviation. So we are saying as a department we are guided by principles of sustainable use, we are not saying no touching of the land. Touch the earth, but touch it lightly. Those are the principles of sustainable conservation that we are guided by. And then oceans and coastal management, in terms of making sure that we manage and protect the coastal zone for the future generations of our country, for people to enjoy the beaches and also continue to interact and have economic activities that can be undertaken sustainably along the coast. Then in respect to the legislation, in the threat plan you will also see even regulations, honorable member, but the key is the National Environmental Management Act as the principal act that regulates the framework for the protection of the environment and its resources. And also that act has within it embedded the cooperative governance principles in terms of coordination with departments, national departments, departments with impacting functions on environment, and even those departments that have got management responsibilities on the environment. And we then have subordinate legislation, which is why then the others are still NEMA or National Environmental Management Act. We then have protected areas, which is the legislation that guides the work of South African National Parks, and the National Environmental Equality Act of 2004, Biodiversity Act, which is the founding legislation that supports the work of SANBI, which is the Biodiversity Institute, and then we have the Waste Act and the Integrated Coastal Management Act. We then have a number of regulations under each of those acts. I did not cover the Antarctic Islands a piece of legislation because it's not a NEMA legislation, but it is highlighted in the strategic plan. Then, honorable members, in the strategic plan, we also reflect the vision and values that guide the people and that work in the department. We have a vision of a prosperous and equitable society living in harmony with its natural resources. And the values, we subscribe to people-centered, to be a people-centered organization, being able to respond to the needs of South Africans timelessly. We want to make sure that we still maintain highest levels of integrity, professionalism, and honesty. We want to be an organization that performs productively, and we innovate within that. And we also an organization that would want to ensure sustainability and maximize impact, especially on to achieve returns on our investment. And then the next slide just indicates the programs that are then funded through this strategic plan. We have six programs, and all of those programs then would support the strategic priorities or the execution of the strategic priorities of the department. The next slide reflects the goals, goal one being that of delivering to our mandate, and then the other goals are more the corporate goals for the department. Next slide reflects then the strategic objectives in order for us to achieve that goal. What are the things that we have to focus on as our strategic objectives? And we've outlined that we want to make sure that we protect, conserve, and enhance our environmental, natural, and heritage assets and resources. We want to make sure that we proactively plan, manage, and prevent pollution and environmental degradation to ensure a sustainable and a healthy environment. Like to provide leadership on climate change adaptation and mitigation, contribute to sustainable development, livelihoods, green and inclusive economic growth through facilitating skills development and employment creation. Would want to be part of creating a better Africa and a better world by advancing our national environmental interests, to a global sustainable development agenda. Then the next slide, honorable members, said would reflect the corporate objectives that are linked to the goals. And then the next slide continues then in terms of how we then align our strategic frame, our strategic priorities to the medium-term strategic priorities of government, what is called the MTSF. On the left side, you see the medium-term strategic priorities, what then links the aligned to the work of the department. In terms of speeding up growth and transformation of the economy in order to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods, we would make a contribution by facilitating a green economy strategy that would result in jobs that that would accrue from the potential of the waste sector and the IT sector or technology sector in respect of cleaner technologies and so on and so on. And then in respect to building a social and economic infrastructure, we would want to improve our environmental impact management processes and system and use of other tools in order to make sure that we facilitate a decision, informed decision making that would contribute to the development of that economic infrastructure. In respect to rural development, food security and land reform, our contribution here, we're saying again, we want that there is valuing of environmental assets and in the manner in which they make a contribution to rural development and the rural economy. We would cooperate towards resolution of land claims, settlement of land claims, and including post-settlement support. There is an error there in terms of the formulation of that sentence, honorable members. But we work closely with the Department of Rural and Land Reform, Land Affairs, but it's Rural Development and Land Reform in respect of dealing with land claims in protected areas. How best then do we create opportunities for the claimants or even the people living alongside our protected areas? In terms of education, we want to play a role in cooperating with the Department of Education and Qualifications Authority, which is SAQA and the CITAS, in supporting a continuous review of the environmental curriculum. That then would be responding to the sector demands for skills development. In the area of health, I've already indicated in the problem statement how investment in environmental quality would minimize the cost to public health in terms of our actions, in terms of managing air quality and also effective waste management. Then in respect to fighting crime, again in this area we think that we're making a contribution towards an integrated approach to prevention of poaching activities in cooperation with the justice cluster and the other relevant departments within that, and would want to ensure that there is improvement in compliance with environmental laws. As I indicated in the last 2 weeks when I made a briefing to the Portfolio Committee, we have reached an agreement with the Ministry of Justice on providing dedicated time for processing and dealing with environmental crime-related cases. And we hope that that will also be a value add in terms of making sure that we bring people to book when they do break laws in respect of environmental crime. And Sandparks, the CEO, I imagine when he also talks to his presentation, he will also indicate how they have been trying to step up the crime, environmental crime, especially in terms of poaching of the rhinos within Kruger and even other provincial perhaps I did share statistics that they provided me in the previous meeting, and he can quite highlight that during his presentation. In respect of cohesive and sustainable communities, again, as an environmental center, the work, the intervention that we support as this department lend themselves to labor-intensive work, and both in the area of waste management, coastal management, and so on. There is an opportunity for us to make sure that we contribute to jobs in the economy, including the open space management in municipal areas. Again, those are local government functions, and we are, as a national department, having an interest in supporting them and hand-holding them to a point where they are able to plan properly for environmental spaces and open spaces in general. In creating a better world in Africa, we will continue to foster a global sustainable development agenda. We're having the Commission on Sustainable Development, CSD, in New York, happening in May. It's not a policy year, but we'll still be advancing our interest in that regard as it relates to the implementation of the Johannesburg Plan of Implementation from the World Summit in 2002. Over and above that, we continue to lead and support the formal negotiation process to get to a climate, an international climate change regime that would be beneficial to all of us, including South Africa. Would reinforce our transfrontier conservation area initiative, and in this regard, again, after we've had a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe 1.5 years, the conference, the Investor Conference, which was an opportunity for our neighboring countries, which are part of the transfrontier conservation areas, to attract investors in terms of developing the appropriate infrastructure within those areas. And then in respect of improvement of public services, we will do our part in improving efficiency and in developing skills in our center. And then lastly, I think I'm not going to go into the other details, honorable members. There is a link to the work of the department to the M&E outcomes-based approach of the presidency. And in that outcomes-based approach, the presidency has outlined 12 outcome areas. And outcome number 10 is an outcome that is the responsibility of this Department of Environmental Affairs, and it is stated as protect and enhance our environmental assets and natural resources. So we think at least we have caught the attention of the President in terms of the importance of the work of this sector, and because of that, we then will be responsible for this delivery forum that would coordinate national departments that have a bearing on this outcome, as well as provinces and municipalities, and therefore would provide the leadership in that regard. In respect to outcome 4, which is stated as decent work through inclusive economic growth, we will make a contribution to our green economy strategy development and work on skills development for the sector. And then again, on outcome 11, creating a better South Africa, it does resonate with what I've already outlined in terms of our environmental interests being pursued at a global level. The next slide, then, honorable members, then take up to the next level of key performance areas. From the strategic objectives, then you go to key performance areas, and then you go to indicators and as well as targets. And in the strategic plan, we've outlined as far as possible, how we would then make sure that we achieve the strategic objectives. So in this one, we deal with the conservation of species and mitigating the threats on biodiversity, and it is then in line with what we have outlined as the target for the 3-year period. Next slide. In this one, we are focusing on the work of environmental impact management, environmental quality protection, monitoring and compliance, and legal support, including waste management systems and air quality management functions. So clearly, in all of the next slides, all of the members, I am then beginning to just indicate in details how are we going to achieve the objectives as outlined already. The next slide, I will go quickly to the estimates, national estimates of expenditure. We have indicators that then talk to those objectives. And from each one, objective one, those are the key performance indicators, those are the targets for 2010-2011. So, and we've gone through all of them, and I will not waste your time by going through them in detail now. So, in essence, in summary, the priorities and what we've defined are in line with the MTSF and also the presidency MNE, and they are also in line with what has been funded by the National Treasury in terms of national expenditure allocation. Then the next slide just reflects then the actual budget allocation, which the CFO would also talk further on. But just to bring your attention to the fact that we've had our budget in terms of our baseline, we've got a 0.0004% increase to the baseline. And the key thing there being that it's an increase of the expanded public works incentive scheme of about 65 million and the climate change preparation for hosting the conference of the parties in 2011, and on a compensation of employees we received only 19 million. And the CFO will explain that it has not, our baseline has not been growing, especially that we've had all these pieces of legislation that have been now processed through Parliament. We don't have the capacity to really get into implementation. And we made a case to Treasury in that regard. Unfortunately, we did not get that. Instead, we had to split the budget that we had on the personnel baseline with tourism. And now, over and above that, we will have to split 80% of that to go to agriculture for fisheries. So the actual core environmental management function is going to suffer in that regard, including the transfers to our entities. And there you can see we're reflecting that we had to then, the transfer to tourism is about 1.1, which is 1 billion, which is made up of the transfer that they were getting to SA Tourism and part of the budget that was being shared in terms of resources in the department, both our IT infrastructure and human resources. So SANParks and MCM further got another cut, and we also made, we still had to make a contribution to the savings overall of government, and we had our share of cut again, even within that baseline that was already seen. So in respect to funding, honestly, honorable members, we do have a real challenge, and as a department, we are making our case again to Treasury, and we do hope that we will get the money and at some point. But for now, we are not funded fully. Our establishment is having a shortfall of about 15 to 20%, if we were to round that off. So we will have posts that we cannot fill for quite some time, and therefore be curtailed in our ability to implement the program. On that note, thank you very much, Honorable.
some parents, a family member, one of the families. That was the strategic plan of the department by UDG. And we know the next item is the finances of environmental affairs. But I want to be guided by members of parliament. Are we taking questions on this one? Or are we finishing with this one and the finances? And then, but I see the head of Ms. Lavo. Yes, Ms. Lavo?
Thank you, Chair. It's really clarity. I downloaded a strategic plan over the weekend, and I think it was environmental affairs. It certainly is far more detailed than what has been presented. I'm just concerned that where is the detail? Strategic objective 3, for instance, and this is really clarity, is provide leadership of climate change, adaptation, and mitigation, and there's one KPI, and that's an annual relief voyage going to Antarctica, Marion, and Gough Island. There must be a lot more than that in terms of KPIs, and I'm just wondering where it is.
All right, I think you should shelve that for when we come for AMA questions. I'm sure there are some other members who are planning to ask questions. But in order for us to be flexible, let us take the finances, and then after the finances, then we'll take both questions from both presentations. Thanks, Cecilia.
Thanks, and basically, I just want to give a rundown on our comparative expenditure patterns for the prior years, challenges and risks that I have been identified, as the DG has already mentioned, trying to link the strategic plan to the MTF. And we are also going to look at our ratio of compensation to goods and services. And then from there, we're going to review our foreign assistance and projects, you know, like for where we've been getting money from foreign donors, and just see what impact it might have on the MTF. And then a short review on what has been transferred to the Department of Forestry and Fisheries from DIT, and also look at what the department is transferring to the public entities. And then we look at efficiency models that we've always been applying in the department, you know, like to resource our shortfalls and look at our links to the strategic plan. Basically, when we look at those figures, right at the bottom, we can see that the department, as the DG has mentioned, have always had a budget constraints up to a point that every financial year we spend 99.9% of the budget by just, you know, like tightening in the our controls, not to overrun the budget that has been allocated. And that is, you know, like review for our compensation of employees line, as well as the goods and services line, and mainly the transfer to agencies comprises the bigger portion of our budget for implementation, followed by our social responsibility projects. And then at the bottom, then we look at the departmental total. Next slide. There we identify the risks, you know, like in the department. We've realized that over the years, with the expenditure patterns of 99%, we are experiencing, you know, like a continuous, you know, like shrinking pace, both from National Treasury and from the, you know, like what is actually experienced in the department.
Can I interrupt you? What is this document? Do you have this presentation? Never.
No, it was requested yesterday. Where is the copy? Because you made copy.
I know. Motion. Motion, yeah.
It's like the document.
And indeed, it's a very sensitive money, and we don't have documents.
Yes,
because you can't continue if we don't have anything in front of us as members of parliament.
Can I request that I explain this? what they did, the process. I don't know what they did. I know that the presentation was requested yesterday and they went on it yesterday, the CFO. So both this and the official presentation, are they ready here? Can you bring the copies, please? So can I request that you just finish this and then allow the next presentation and then you come back when you have the copies? Did you, what does that mean? No, just to explain the question
from Ms. Lakmo. Okay,
thanks, Chair. Honourable members, I did not go into all of the strategic objectives because I, in the interest of time, I was thinking that the details I referred to you on is right here in the strategic plan, and the question by Honourable Member Lakmo from page 36, you will see each strategic objective number one, and what are the key performance areas, what are the key indicators, what is the baseline, what is the target for 2010-11, 2011-12, 2012-13, and so on. So CITES, threatened and protected species, bioprospecting, and so on. So when you come to the climate change one, it's page 49, mitigate greenhouse gas emissions. Then you have a key performance indicator on greenhouse gases that have been identified and declared as priority pollutants. And then you have greenhouse gas monitoring and reporting systems to be in place. And then we have targets for each year on in that regard. And then we have international engagement following that and what the baseline is and what the targets are on our movement. Respond, if you go back to page 48, respond and adapt to climate change, you have an indicator there that says biodiversity climate change response strategy to be developed, and then national climate change response policy will be published and implemented.
Do you have a plan? Okay, yes I do, and I apologize, it was in the bag. We received the bag this morning. You know, my concern is simply that I anticipated that at this workshop, I mean, we'll work through everything, but at this workshop I thought that we would have the opportunity to really interrogate the strategic plan of the department and to look at, for instance, I mean, just as this page has fallen open, it's on the regional healthcare risk waste treatment plot. Now, I see, for instance, the target for construction is 2015. My question is why? That's an example. I'm not asking specifically why, but why is it going to take us 10 years to get to the phase of construction? I thought we'd be able to really have 2 days of interrogation and really come out understanding why the strategic plan is as it is. But I'm not sure that we're going to achieve that. What we're going to achieve, Chair, seems to be a very much a superficial overview of the strategic plan. So that is my concern. Thank you, Chair. No, you're right. I agree with you. We have this strategic plan. I think I don't know if it has a portfolio. You are right. I think those are issues. Because if you remember, the last week when we had Department of Water Affairs, there were questions about even the time frames that were outlined by the President and the State of the Nation Address, of saying that 2014 will deal about 50% of the leakage, blah, blah, all those things. There were questions around that. So I think we are right by saying that if there are time frames, then it must be put very clearly that it's 2015 and what are the reasons, why 2015? I think you are correct, your example is correct. So when question time comes, I think Member Christian, he said that they received this file only this morning. I'm lucky I received on Friday, so I went through it the weekend so that members can go through it. Even tomorrow when we meet, we can start then by saying in the morning that we engage in your presentation and she must try and highlight all these issues that are being raised by members so that we can debate those issues. I don't know whether we did get the finance. You know, the reason why we
we are so keen about the state of affairs when it comes to finances teaching. We had a presentation by Water Affairs on their finances. And because of questions that were raised by members of parliament, I had them to call in National Treasury to come and respond on some of the concerns that were raised in my office. So I was surprised that the information that we received from the National Treasury differs from what we received from the department. Understand? And it's a great concern. The department comes and say that we can't do 1, 2, 3, 4 because of lack of funding. National Treasury doesn't want to give us. Here are the requests. You know? And if you come and say that because of 1, 2, 3 service delivery is affected, it's a concern to us, members of parliament. We had them to call in National Treasury and say that no. Yeah, emotional. People want water. If you can't give this portfolio money in order for them to be able to deliver water, then it becomes a problem to us. But to our surprise, when National Treasury made the presentation, the smaller amount that they receive, they can't even manage that. The small portion that they receive, they can't manage that. A lot of money is being returned to National Treasury. Understanding in advance, but that was never raised to the portfolio committee. That this year we returned 400 million, that year we returned 500 million. The concern is becoming bigger now. Because now they project that they return how much? 800 million. You see? They don't even have plans of saying that. We are saying as members of parliament, there are clinics outside there, there are schools outside there, as in Yenaman, with no water. There are smaller and rural areas. Can't you just be proactive and come up with something? Try to reinforce that smaller and amount and say that this is what we're going to do in Ingusa, in this land, put up a tank, something like that. So that, I mean, something that at the end of the day, when you say National Treasury, I did not budget to put up a tank in Ingusa, but at the end of the day, it has to do with delivery of water to the people. We are saying as parliament, that's the one, there's no way that National Treasury and an intelligent child, we are not satisfied about it. But when you take that kind of amount and send it back to National Treasury as under expenditure, while people don't have water, it becomes a problem. And you don't even mention that in the portfolio committee. And then the portfolio committee went and fined National Treasury. That's the final that we turned up to be fools at the end of the day. That's why we are saying that we need and honest information as far as we can do. So that when we go and talk to the authority, see us, but that is just an authority. It's even worse now because parliament has got now power to interrogate funding. Parliament has power to know this new money bill that has been passed by parliament. We have the right as parliament of saying that put more money. At the same time, we have the right of saying that this is too much. They can't manage the little that they have. You are giving them too much. Make it less. We have all the powers now. But if you don't get the right information from the department, it becomes a problem. That's why I'm saying that we need to have these documents. It's not that we are being fast. We need to have these documents so that ours is to assist the department. Because at the end of the day, it's about the service delivery. And that's what I need to clear that it's not that we are being fast, but it's very important that we need to get this. Thank you.
Also, just a concern from me. My name is Gauta Mokoro. If you look at this, it's so finely printed. Is it because the money has been returned to Treasury and there's no ink or what? We don't know. Madam Chair, is that a joke? Yeah.
So
some of us yeah. You can't even see. Now you can as well imagine senior citizens like myself who have been looking for so many years and our sons size is now actually declining. How do we, how would we identify this leader?
No, I agree with you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Honorable member, I can't even read out here. Look at the last page and look at those beautiful blocks there. I only see the blocks, nothing else. Can someone make a plan for us? We can't see, it's being honest. No.
Can I request chair, but honorable members, this presentation, let's do it later, let's get the bigger two slides per page presentation, not four slides. And because I think they are conscious about paper, that's why we print both sides, but I think you are also right if you can't see it now. It then does not quite help you. Can I come back, Chair, and I'm requesting now, honorable members, if we do this first plan of the department page by page on this, we're not going to be able to get to the entity. That's the reality. That's why I was saying when I was raising these, I was highlighting them and saying these are the key areas, and this, and then maybe then we would have to deal with those in detail in questions, because we can cut all the other presentations and just only do what is on the targets and what each of the entities is going to be able to finance, if that's the what the members want, they want us to focus on. But I don't think it would be possible have in detail all the strategic plans.
Thanks, Gigi, but I thought I said that Tina, on our own, we're going to read this material because we have this material. And then tomorrow when we engage, we'll ask you from what's right here. I understand that. I also saw the program that we have a lot of people, we need a lot of information here. So even after the workshop, if there are some issues that members of parliament feel that they needed more clarity on, then you have to respond to those. I think whilst we are struggling to read this thing, or we are struggling to get it right, can you break for 5 minutes for tea?
Yes.
Please, the tea is ready. Okay. Similarly with the presentation.
presentation on the green economy and the one on the abalone fisheries. Those are the three requests that we got from the committee to prepare a presentation on, which were not part of the pack. So you do have now the copies circulated for those presentations. The CFO will take you through the presentation, but just as I recall, when I briefed the portfolio committee, honorable members, the last time, I indicated that yes, we still, there are challenges in terms of financing the activities of this department, but also at the same time, in this current financial year, we were busy with this restructuring and splitting of the two departments, and now lately also the third one with agriculture. So it has affected the trend in terms of our expenditure in this financial year. I think those details the CFO can indicate. Just in summary, for program one, we've had challenges on expenditure because we have a PPP project for the new building of the department, which requires a property management that has consultants for facilitating the whole PPP, and the appointment process has been done with treasury, and that together with the other expenditure on IT and so on has caused us to have a bit of over expenditure under the program one. Similarly, on MCM, we've had also a peak of spending because we're just starting with the replacement of SA Agalas during the months of November, December last year. So there are those trends that would be a bit unusual, including on our expanded public works program. We were not meeting the expenditure as required because we still had to align with the new priorities of the two departments. So the CFO would reflect then on the presentation overall, previous trends on expenditure, what has been on transfer, and what are the challenges that we face as a department. And certainly, surely, if we were told, Chair, to bring our submissions to Treasury for the requests that we made, would have been very happy to actually reflect and have Treasury here explaining why they did not quite give us the money that that we need as a department, because we think we do have a valid and a strong case for those requests. We hope that we can still persuade them at another time. CFO.
Thank you, DG, and apologies. Basically, we're looking at, you know, like the expenditure trends in the department, and I was saying the department has been sitting on the last 3 to 4 years on 99% expenditure pattern, trying as hard as possible not to overrun the budget and cause unauthorized expenditure. Because of the increases, you know, like in co-implementation, you know, of environmental mandate, we've tried as a department to identify the top risk. And we are saying because of the shrinking budget, right, and insufficient allocation of the baseline, there's a lot of environmental mandates, as the DG was explaining, that you cannot be able to deliver, including coordination of environmental sector plans, and then ultimately, you know, like inability to implement systems that are helping us to integrate, coordinate, and increase our knowledge based in the department. So those are the strategic risks that were identified in the department. We have actually, you know, like taken into consideration that inflation mainly has affected most of our fixed costs, like, you know, like occupancy costs, where we have to pay for buildings and rentals, and those have actually, you know, like been growing faster than the MTF allocations in the department. Also, we've been tracking our donor funds, and then we've realized that as our donor funds are decreasing, we might have to have a major increase in our MTF allocations to be able to proceed with those projects that are
extending beyond the life of the donor funding. And the DG again explained, with the state of the department, whatever ratio is given for the state, because we are actually, you know, like co-funding with, you know, like the programs that are transferring either to the Department of Agriculture and Forestry or Tourism, that is going to cause us, you know, like also problems in the, you know, like flexibility of moving funds around. And the biggest exposure is that because now the Auditor General is going to emphasize performance audit, we cannot afford to have a lower MTF allocation as, you know, like reviewed, because it is going to sacrifice our performance. If we look at what we have been requesting from Treasury for all, you know, like our mandates, the baseline of the department was 3.4 billion. We requested in the adjustment estimates about 450 million to fund, you know, like all our environmental mandates. The actual allocated to the baseline for 2009-10 then, last year, was 68 million, and then ultimately 34 million was also cut. And if we look at the percentage increase to baseline, it is sitting at below 1%. And wherever there's an increase in the outer years, it was because of, you know, like specific projects like the replacement of the polar vessel, the Cape Agulhas. Also, now reviewing the MTF now, we can be able to see on the baseline percentage increase again. That is also below 1% across the 3 years. And basically what has increased is what is earmarked, like EPWP incentives and then compensation of employees. And we can also see now Treasury moving towards looking at the surpluses of public entities, where I'm saying Sandparks and Marine MLRF, Marine Living Resource Fund, they are looking at, you know, like the retained incomes of the entities, and they've cut 83 million, 88 million, and 94 million across the MTF. That is even going to cause more pressure in the department, because most of the cuts are affecting, you know, like infrastructure grants, and it's going to, you know, like slow down, you know, like progress on those. And we can see the transfer to tourism and transfer to fisheries of 122 million, of which aquaculture is about 10 million, and the rest is compensation of employees that will transfer to fisheries. Over the years, we've also looked at the ratio of our compensation of employees to goods and services. And we can see that if you look at those ratios, they've been basically, you know, like sitting at 1 to 1.49, which means for every rand that we have in compensation of employees, we've got 1.49 rand to perform our services. And why we analyzed that, we were benchmarking from the fact that those ratios did, you know, like suffice for the department when we're still writing our regulations. And now that we're co-implementing, you know, like with, you know, like other government spheres, and also, you know, like also driving our sector plans, the ratio of standing at debt to the outer years is actually, you know, like dangerous for the department. We'll never be able to, you know, like to deliver. And we've also put a desired ratio. We've benchmarked against other departments like National Treasury of how much do they have, you know, like for their goods and services. And we've actually realized that for every 1 rand, they've got about 2 rand to actually deliver. So we benchmarked and said, at least for a rand, we need 2 rand to deliver our services. And then we looked at all our foreign assistance and where foreign assistance is coming to an end. We've just said that, you know, beyond, you know, like the foreign assistance plan, there's always some continuation with those projects, and those are going to cause pressures on the department to implement, you know, like our waste management projects, our conservation projects are not going to, you know, like come to a standstill after we don't get donor funds. And then those are the main sources of also our donor funds. We're just trying to enlist them, and from there we are going to, you know, like project what is it that we need to include in the MTF in the outer years.
And then we also did a review of Oceans and Coastal Management Branch. We effected the split in this manner. We took 20% of personnel, our employees, and 20% of personnel expenditure to be able to proceed with our environmental functions. We also, in the meantime, kept four vessels because we feel that, you know, like to actually do integrated coastal management, we need the vessels, but in the later stage, I don't know what the department might decide, and then we'll talk around the vessels. And ultimately, I'm also highlighting the vessel operating cost, you know, how they've actually, you know, like, taken most of the money in the department, branch MCM, because of, you know, like, its unique operations, like overtime, seagoing allowances. And then if you look at, you know, like, the fuel for the vessels, it is the main, you know, like, expenditure items in coastal management. And we need to look at how those are going to be factored in the outer years. And then looking at the budget of vessel operating cost, we can see the bottom red, how much we get from Treasury, and then the blue, how much it actually cost us to actually, you know, like historically run those vessels. And these are, you know, like some of the activities which have been reducing the baseline of the department, which are almost fixed in nature, because we've got, you know, like services that are also run by outside consultants for us to be able to deliver on those, you know, like vessels for monitoring. So, just a little bit backwards. So, if we look at that trend and going in the outer years, if Treasury is going to be allocating along, you know, like this allocation in the MTF, it actually shows that year on year, the department has to prioritize about 54 million from, you know, like how I use in goods and services to operating vessels, also taking from the revenue. The revenue account has been transferred to agriculture and forestry. Therefore, this is going to have an impact on the MCF, funding that shortfall. And most of our transfers go to our public entities. Out of all, every 3 billion that we get, about 1.5 billion go to public entities. About 600 million go to our expanded works programs. The department has almost around about 700 million, which is split between use of goods and services. And that is the ratio that I was analyzing. And that is just a breakdown of how we fund our infrastructure investments across the entities, South African Weather Services, Mangaliso, National Parks, and Sandy. The only one that I didn't put there is Marine Living Resources. We decided to see as well, because National Treasury has been saying to us, we must look at how our entities are moving towards sustaining themselves. And therefore, we also did a trend analysis of seeing whether we can, you know, like, fund ourselves from our public entities. But we have realized that as the purse is shrinking, our public entities are also entering a difficult time of declaring deficits to Treasury. Where there are surpluses, Treasury is starting to cut the surpluses and not allocate a budget. But where there are deficits, we don't know what policy Treasury is going to use to actually assist our public entities to make good of their deficits. And also we must remember that public entities are going to show a trend of deficits for a very long time because they are on accrual basis and not on cash basis. So we're seeing South African Weather Services, Isimangaliso, and South African National Biodiversity having a deficit. And by us not having, you know, like additional funds to assist our entities, we are going to observe that trend and then discuss it with National Treasury. To say, you know, at least give us a policy. If you are retaining the surplus as National Treasury, also tell us how we are supposed to deal with the deficit that is showing in the balance sheets of the public entities. That is just, you know, like an explanation to that. And on the whole, the cash and cash equivalent
influence of the public entities are enough to cover their operations. And the public entities, looking at their strategic plans and their quarterly reporting, we can see how much they try to reduce the deficits and also efficiency savings. And again, you know, the last point is actually emphasizing that we need to pursue, you know, like the discussion of deficits with national treasury. The efficiency models that the department has actually looked at, as I said, is no co-funding, PPPs, looking at what is it that you can do with entities. And then we have also looked at, you know, like the increase in occupancy costs, renters, and all those, you know, like fixed costs that are increasing, you know, like faster or exponentially compared to the MTF allocation. The MTF move along the lines of 5%, 6% over the MTF. But if you look at, you know, like fixed costs like occupancy, you find that the increases for electricity, water, lights, and, you know, like rental is somewhere around about 18 to 20%, which means our entities and, you know, like including us and, you know, like infrastructure and developments, we are going to have problems there. We've also, you know, like tried to reduce most of non-priority programs in the department while exercising strict budget and expenditure monitoring and control. We've had a trend of unqualified audits since I joined the department for the last 4 years, even before. And with the budget doing that, we are entering a trend where we're moving funds around in the MTF, and as I said, that is going to cause us problems in performance and in the performance audits. For performance, we've got a strict way, you know, like of linking our strategic plan to our MTF and our operational plan for the first year. And we follow up on our individual performance plans and quarterly reporting. And in the annual report, we also highlight our challenges and our successes. And every year, we look at, you know, like, what is it that you can actually fit into the budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the presentation on the Fund for Environmental Affairs. It's nice to chair a committee. If you've chaired a committee before, then it's easy for you to compare. It used to be so easy for me to deal with the police budget, because what they used to do, they used to say, "Chairperson, you've given us 10 million for program one. The target that is set for ourselves is 7%. Of this 7%, we managed to do 3%. You see? And then you as parliament, then you look at this budget, 209 to 10, you take 208 to 9, blah 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 blah. And then you say to the department, there was never a time where you reached your target. So that means you've been unfair to yourself. You will never reach the target of 7%. How about taking your target down to 4%? You see? And then you as a member of parliament, listening to what is being presented to yourself, it's easy for you then to see ukuthi where is the problem. You see? And assist that department by saying that on program one, you wanted so much, we gave you so much, you managed to use half of it. Then to members of parliament, we it's not everybody up and sitting who has got a financial problem. Tina, we are like a tax shop. Mopet 2 rand or 10 legs of a rand, you are expecting to come back with 1 rand. It's how we understand a budget when you talk about a budget. Because I would say the same as what Honorable Lavmo said, that it is not in detail the way that we expect it to be. You have outlined your program, Gigi,
and say we have 5 programs, program 1, program 2, blah, 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 blah. And then in each and every program, there is funding allocated to that program. Now Parliament wants to know if you say that National Treasury didn't give us funding to do 1, 2, 3, where is this area when National Treasury, where is this area when National Treasury refused to give funding to this department? When you are seated here like myself here, I would say, ask the right demand and go in my kid. Right, Mr. Benzile, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because it's how I understand it. The time that we are politicians, you are officials, you understand the way you understand it, and then we understand it. Get the lady understand, guys. I'll give to members of parliament to go through this, ask questions, clarities, and everything. For instance, MRL, what is Marine Resource Fund? Yeah. We are told that thing is going to agriculture, isn't it? Yeah. And also, maybe after we've got the presentation from the transfer of fisheries, yeah? Transfer of fisheries to agriculture. Maybe it will be easier then for us to ask some of the things that reflect here. Yeah? That is thing that we're supposed to be shown with this thing is leaving us, is going to agriculture. Also, when you made your presentation, TG, you said that in one of your presentations that if donor funding is declining, according to you. But when you look at this presentation here, you look from 2007, 2008, 2009, 31 million, 44 million, 49 million. Then you need to explain to us when you say declining, planner copy, or is it because West Bank has a little money this time? So I'm saying you're declining because in some instances, money. And then also, it's just my own view, but here from members of parliament. What's the use of running a shop if you're running to a loss? Yeah, what's the use of running a shop if you're running to a loss? You can't go and buy goods and metro with 10 million and make 2 million out of that and then you think that you're running a shop. You're not running a shop. You're running a loss. I'm talking about Simangaliso and all this other that is the way it has been put here. Unless he's our explainer, Angela Engon. After I met with National Treasury, I'm not so much sure now about unqualified support. Because he used to say that it is unqualified, no, this department is doing well. But after the presentation that we had from them, it's not always that the department is doing well when you get unqualified support. You see? So we need people to tell us what you, for instance, you did tell here some of the challenges that you have and then you need more money. But the more money you have now, where is it? What is it that you think that you have less funding so that when you take a decision at the portfolio committee and say that, you call in the National Treasury and say that, why don't you give funding to environmental affairs? And then you show that this is the program that needs money. But I'll open to members then to ask questions. Members, can't see. Finances. Honorable, so there would be. Come again. Honorable, what?
Thanks, Chair. And thanks for the presentation to the department. Just one thing I'd like to know in this budgeting MPEF process, that Shipley S.A. Agulhas, which is reputedly or reportedly going to cost $1.3 billion. Has that been costed into this? I don't see it as a specific item. I see it mentioned in dispatches on the item. When does that come to an end? That's been paid off over a few years. Is that going to make any effect on the budget, or is that just a one-off on there? Thanks.
Honorable Morgan.
Thank you, Chair. Presentations thus far. One of the comments which struck me from the DG was towards the end of her presentation when she said that one of the consequences of funding constraints and a practically non-existent baseline increase is that it has implications for the implementation of the suite of environmental legislation. And being one of the only people who sat on the portfolio committee for the last 5 years, what comes to our mind is the fact that we passed in this committee a huge amount of legislation in the dying days of the previous parliament, including the Coastal Management Waste Act, an Air Quality Act, which even though passed in 2004, you know, only started gathering steam in the last year, and in amongst various others. And those are substantial pieces of legislation. So my question is, that legislation is burdensome on various spheres of government, and it provides responsibilities to national departments, provincial and local governments, I think particularly of the waste sector and the Integrated Coastal Act, all which require capacity building, and all which are budgeted which all need to be budgeted as very clear. So a couple of thoughts are in my mind. What is the implication going forward for actually drafting legislation from your department and submitting it to the legislature if actually the implication that the costs of implementing these bills, and I'm looking now on a long time frame, it's not clear where actually this money would come from. So, you know, yes, the economy will turn around, and yes, we will increase our revenue base and time and all of that, but it's not in the short term. We're a couple of years away from that. So how does that affect your planning in terms of future legislation? What actually happens to the legislation where you're not going to be able to implement it? I mean, are you going to hold back on commencement of certain components of legislation, or does it just exist? And I say here because, of course, you know, when people want the law enforced, they're going to come to you or local government or provincial government and you say, X exists in law. Why isn't it happening? So that has implications for the credibility of the state, actually. And what I guess I'm getting at there is that if there are going to be problems with implementation, better than to fudge our way through it, I mean, should the bottom not be making public statements on these things, actually, to actually say what is reasonably feasible now and what is not. And beyond that, kind of chairperson, if I may make a comment to you, as we, over the period, start moving towards next year's fiscal framework, I find it untenable that this department is in a position where it can't actually fully realize the legislation passed by our committee. We're obliged as the portfolio committee to make use of the Money Act in weeks to come as we look forward to the budgeting process a year down the line and actually say we have a department that can't enforce their own legislation. But I want you to counter that to this on DG on that one point. The other point actually to say, what are your implications going forward for? Because, you know, you've presumably got a huge amount of legislation or at least amendment bills that you want to bring forward to us. And one of the most common things that, well, not common, but it's happening increasingly in Parliament is that MPs are asking departments to provide impact studies on the legislation in terms of what will the cost of it be. And increasingly, the legislators will have to start interrogating those things like cost even more, and I don't think we've done a good enough job of this in the past, and say, you know, we love your legislation, but let's be realistic. I mean, and legislators need to make law which is respected by the people of South Africa, and actually the state is going to lose credibility in time if it has law on its books which it just can't enforce. And not because of your fault, just because there's no money for it.
Dr.
Leary?
Dr.
Leary? My comment in the beginning around this presentation,
is around the manner in which UDG has presented the overview of this whole presentation, of which there are no contradictions on what she said and the CFO. And I want to commend them for that, because it means there is some level of connectivity in the leadership of the department. And the actual issue gets said that I found them concurrent with each other is the manner in which their programs are funded, of which is a concern. If there is no increase in as far as your baselines are concerned, and even a budget, but if there was some kind of an increase on the baseline as the inflation management, we would regard that as a diminishing growth of a budget, which does not change the image of the previous year. So in this case, there are cuts on the baseline. So it means the consistency around the spending patterns in the department are a justification of the budget allocation. I mean, generally, the details that we want from the department is not going to assist us much. In fact, it will make us cry more to say the allocation to each line function in the department would demonstrate exactly what we saw from Water Affairs. Water Affairs was telling us that we requested 500 million and we were only allocated 10% of that. We requested 5 million and we received nothing for this particular item. Then it's very clear as a person that we have a magnificent role to play as a portfolio committee for us to be taken seriously by the department. I'm not justifying what Water Affairs did, because as we were crying and we had the vigor to say, we'll find out from Treasury what is it that they are doing, only to find that some of the information that was given to us, it was the information that they felt it is enough for us. And then when we met Treasury, we discovered that there is a lot of money that they are not using. Now you are one department. If they are failing to spend a portion of their budget, why is it then, DG, you don't agree on a notion that says, if you are unable to spend this budget or this portion, why don't we arrange so that an internal environment can be done before the end of the second quarter? So it's difficult, but Jefferson, I know you are capable of identifying the mischief maybe at times when officials become so economic in terms of sharing information with us and then deal with that on the spot. I mean, I don't want to pose more questions, because by the look of things, the realization of the priorities of government in as far as this department is concerned, we must be very honest and frank and say it will be a miracle for us to restart as this department. Your contribution to those priorities, in as far as you are concerned, DG, you are not going to do much. Now, the opinion, lastly, the AG's opinion that says, unqualified, and will smile at that and say, no, this department is doing very well. That if there is unqualified report and there is no outcome, it does not assist. Where are these programs? I mean, where are the outcomes that actually brought change to the ordinary person on the street? It does not really assist, because the person was saying to you, where actually, if you say you need this amount of money, where are you going to? Can I locate the area in which you want to spend much on this? Otherwise, we are spending here on the compensation of employees. There's no seat up for one department has actually told the portfolio committee that we were not able to get our salaries because of these cuts. Cuts will only affect the service deliverables, of which you adjust upon that. So at the end of the day, when you were sitting in your office and doing nothing because there are no resources for you to utilize, at the end of the day, you will be redundant in that office. The chairperson will ask as to, is it cost effective to continue running a spaza shop that does not bring profit to you? I mean, it's a genuine question. Do you really have to do that? You must close shops and start afresh. Then lastly, the issue of consultants. We've got this entourage from the department chairperson. But you'll find that some of their functions that they were employed for are done by consultants. And there is no obligation on the part of the consultancy, of the consulting company to transfer skills. Because once they transfer skills, they won't have anything to do in the next financial year. So they will do this and then go away, giving them an opportunity to come back again. So the issue of consultancy usage, yes, it's a policy of government that you can privatize some of your functions. But if you do that continuously, at the end of the day, we will come up as a department, as a portfolio committee, and say, do we really have a department if we are oversighting consultants and donor funding? Thank you.
All right, I'll give to Honorable Duda. Do you have your thank you, Chair. You know, it would have been ideally when we are presented with a strategy plan to have been provided with both the current and previous targets that were presented to us last year and those that are presented this year, so that we can be able to see where the department is coming from and where the department is going. That's my first comment in terms of what was said by the DG. I think Mr. Liang, actually, Honorable Liang, actually touched on the issue of consultants. In relation to previous spending trends in Program 1, you know, check, there's high spending on consultants, and I think it will be important that this committee is actually provided with the breakdown, you know, for the 2009-2010, you know, financial year on those consultants. I think the point really has been made to say that you then, if you've got people that are, you know, have got expertise, why do we continue to spend so much on consultancies, and that the projects that actually are about service delivery are actually the ones that are suffering the most. I think this is something that really needs to be interrogated very much. I think one need to say that it's not going to be like last year. I think we've got as Parliament and as members of Parliament, we've got, the money bill that is actually empowering us to actually to say to the department, we don't agree with you when you say you're going to spend money on this. We feel that as politicians that are representing the interests of the ordinary people out there, that money should be better spent in this area. I think it should be very clear to the department that we are no longer going to be rubber stampers of what they bring to us, but we are actually going to cross-question them, and we are going to be able to send them back when we are not happy. Having said that,
I want to comment on the finance presentation on page 8, modernization program. What is that? I'll really, this word sometimes can be very fancy and absolutely means absolutely nothing at the end of the day. And people are suffering. I would love to know that. There is also on page 9, check that there are some non-priority programs that have been removed. What are those? Can we also be enlightened of those? They might be, not a priority to you, and you find that they are priority to us, because maybe they have to do with the people and the interests of the people out there. So if I can really be able to be enlightened of those are my comments for the time being. Thank you.
Before I give to Robert Kosani, because it's just a follow-up to what you mentioned, did he, on the issue of the consultant, maybe Dr. Lieng, you must put it the way you put it to what I said, of saying, which area are they using the consultant? And who are those consultants? We want their profile, we want them. And which areas are you using those consultants? And on top of the consultants, the process that you spoke about here, we want a list of your service providers and their profile. There is a lot that we'll engage in tomorrow. We didn't hear you say anything about what are the ordinary people benefiting out of this, out of you, out of the sector. The ordinary people, what are they benefiting out of the sector? I'm talking about service delivery. Yes, yes, but you have many things. All those things. People want to be all over, but you want to know what the ordinary people. But man are going to the sector. Yes. So you profile about everything about go by. Yes, yes. We want that better it comes to in a second. Project, and I also agree on the non-priority programs. We want to assist you, actually. We are not fighting with you, we just want to assist you. That is Kosana and that is Mukhoran. Yeah, and then you say after that.
Thank you, Chetan. Chetan, some of the questions are covered by Honorable Yang and yourself. Chairperson of this meeting. Chairperson, this year we are talking about delivery. We have declared this year as a year of delivery, which means we are not going to theorize this year. Everything that we are talking or we are discussing must put it in practice. That's what we have declared as a ruling party this year. Number two, Chairperson, I want to find out from this department, there is this language which is used, and I hear the National Treasury use this language, projected overspending, projected underspending. Does this department fall under the same trend or not? And I just want to be clarified in that score. And another issue, Chairperson, the budget breakdown, really, this budget, to us, it is not clearly understood. Because it only talks about measure. In fact, it only talks about institutions. We budgeted for this fund, we budgeted for this. But when it comes to the detailed information of how are we going to address issues of service delivery on the ground, very silent, but I should think we'll get it maybe later. And Chairperson, I must say, when we discuss this budget as politicians, we think of addressing issues particularly for the disadvantaged people, including the advantaged people, but disadvantaged people are the key in our budget. I don't know whether this department is considering that in this budget. And another issue that I want to ask is the issue of unqualified statement. This department is serving various sectors, public entities and so on. When do you get unqualified statement? You as a department without these entities or how? Because you will find that as a department, you're talking about unqualified statement, but one or two of your entities, there is a misappropriation of funds in those. I just assume that it is. But I should think you'll clarify me, DJ. And DJ, I should think in the near future we'll be getting an information in relation to law enforcement on industries in terms of air pollution and so on. I should think we'll clarify in that matter. And also, DJ, I want to be clarified about the BEE, Black Empowerment. How is this department addressing that? Because as we are here, we want to see the development in all sectors. This Black Empowerment, really, we are not going to compromise it. It's an issue that we must always focus on it. Because we want to bring those disadvantaged people at least at the par with those who are advantaged. Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mine are just simple questions, but I think they make sense. Very simple. The first question is, there is an outcry throughout the country of municipalities who say they are being owed money by individuals, by some businesses, and some government departments. Now, I would like to know from this department, are they probably not one of those departments that owes money to municipalities? Simple question. The next question, Chair, is can we get any convincing reason as to why would department not be able to use the budget to the last cent? What is the reason? The third question is we talked about environment pollution and mostly caused by mines. I would like to know what is the opinion or what does the department say, the environmental, Department of Environmental Affairs, what does it say with the historical damage of the land around the city of Kimberley? I am from the Northern Cape. There we do not only suffer from the mine dumps, but we suffer also from big open holes right in the middle of the city, and so that the city cannot even properly expand because it's surrounded by these dams, and apparently these dams still have some diamonds in them. Bills have closed them with the security fencing. People have asked to be permitted to wash these tailings, and the bills does not even make a move. What does the Department of Environmental Affairs say about this issue? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I've got one comment and two questions, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more questions tomorrow when we've been through this document in detail, the strategic plan. The comments I made to some of the DG's officials over tea, and I'm assured that it is happening, and I made the DG, I think, last week as well. It really bothers me that a good number, if not most, of the problem statements that were presented, problem statements and areas of
areas of concern that were presented by the DG concern water pollution and concern issues that should be dealt with by our sister department, whatever you like to call it, and that is water affairs. I do understand that it is a process that you were not together before, but it would be interesting to find, that was meant just to be a comment, but it would be interesting to find out how you are interacting with him. Because quite frankly, I would say, you know, I mean, I just want to go and say, listen guys, you cannot allow this. I mean, you've got to do your job so that you do not impact on what we have got to try and control. How is that happening? I know it's not that simple. In terms of EPWPs and job creation, I'm interested to know what job creation, the very difficult one, a very sort of delicate and sensitive subject is, because on the one hand, we are South African and we know how important job creation is. On the other hand, this is the Department of Environmental Affairs. And what we are about is sustainable waste management. Litter picking, for instance, is not sustainable waste management. So if we are spending a lot of all our EPWP money on litter picking, that's not sustainable in terms of waste management, which is one of our core functions. So I'm interested to know what you actually do and how you make it sustainable. And then, Chair, for now, I'm interested in sector capacity. The DG indicated that there is a degree of cooperation with the Department of Education, and that is linked to sector demand. And then also in Goal 2, Strategic Objective 6, ensuring availability of adequate human capital. And I'm interested in, first of all, where the shortages lie within what is required to run this department sustainably, and whether you become involved in the entire sector. And just to give you a background as to why I'm asking that question, it's a question that we're currently pursuing with your sister department, the Department of Water Affairs. In 1998, as I understand it, and I won't go into too much detail, but there was formed there was formed what was called a water sector leadership group under the chairmanship of the Director General, and in fact the minister was to lead that. It was to look inter alia at the development of expertise within the water sector, not just within the Department of Water Affairs, but within the water sector. It hasn't achieved terribly much. In fact, in the words of one of their officials, nothing has happened. Now, I'm interested in whether you have something similar or what in fact you do have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lamu. You know, when you talk about sister something, have you ever been frustrated in your life that you're looking for a telephone number of one of the sisters? I happened to look for her number and I called Department of Water Affairs. Not even the switchboard knows her name. Mm-hmm. At the end, she ended up saying, I have married to Nabo Bantu. You don't know those people. I phoned Department of Water Affairs. I was looking for her number, for her cell number, because I had only the office number. It was even worse when I called Cape Town office. It was diverted to them, to the same office. I came to the same office. And I got the same people. Go to them. She said, I'm looking for UDG or environmental affairs. I go for water affairs. It's water affairs. This is not environmental affairs. And what did you say? Who are you, by the way? And I said, I'm the chairperson for water affairs and environmental affairs. I can give you DG water affairs, but not environmental affairs. They don't belong here. And I phoned the minister because I was frustrated. I wanted to
least even if you are not in the same building, they are supposed to have information. That woman knew nothing about environmental affairs. You see? So these are some of the frustrations. By that time, I wanted to test to her. There was a crisis of this medical waste in the district. And everybody was calling me. You see? And I wanted to call her, but unfortunately, I gave up. Because what I felt said, so I'm saying, the sooner we understand that we stay with the truth, we are happy about that. Because one thing you will never be able to do both at the same time. But at least it's just the correct information. So that we should know who to phone about. I ended up calling even Umayeti. Because I didn't see Umayeti, I know Umayeti has got nothing to do. That's the way I was frustrated, you know?
Legislation. I do think we
are going to reach that stage of the credibility. We're probably not yet quite there, but I think we would approach that. And in our budget submission, we actually spelled out clearly the implications of us not executing or implementing the legislation that has already been processed by Parliament. And we've outlined the risks. And so that matter is already on the table in terms of the discussions we have with Treasury. But we are also understanding the current fiscal environment. Hopefully, I think we would be able to get the money at an appropriate time. And I also do not want to present Treasury as having a deaf ear to the department. I certainly think there are areas where they have been able to assist in light of the pressing priorities of government. And if I were to just, I don't think we are ready to pronounce publicly, but there are areas which we've held back in terms of some of the implementation clauses of the various acts when we're trying to phase in both the capacity and the financing. But greatly, I think even when you were making a reference to the Air Quality Act, implementation, we have relied more also on the donor support, because at least donors have been much more receptive to capacity building, especially with the other spheres of government, whether it's province or local government. And I can give examples in terms of each of the pieces of legislation. I must also state that the fact is that legislation, when we develop it, we do the exercise of costing, and Treasury is part of that process. And Parliament gets the reflection on the figures of what is it going to mean to implement that legislation. And what we have been allocated from the Biodiversity Act, when it was promulgated, to the recent ones, we have not come even closer to 10% of what it would really mean to implement the legislation from a cost perspective. And we've been in a hard game of reprioritizing, and I think the CFO, in his own finance terminology, he was talking about shifting and moving funds around, which is in itself a risk in terms of audit for us. But we've had to do that. We pay Paul and cheat Peter from time to time, and even with our public entities. But I think the honourable member that was making a reference to honourable member Dr. Liyenge, when he was asking whether we can take the money from water, it would be still a decision of Treasury, because it's a different vote. You can't move funds just because we are in the same ministry. So Treasury would still have to identify and reallocate those funds during the adjustment estimates. So I think in terms of reception from Treasury, when we, on the vessel operating costs, which the CFO spoke to, for the Marine and Coastal Management branch, every year they've given us some money. It's not enough. But we've presented arguments and issues of cost of fuel and all of that, and they've taken those into account and given us some financing. But the irony is that with the latest process, which is what the CFO was referring to, where they see surpluses with the entities and not understand that they are not on a cash accounting basis, they are on accrual. Sandpax, the money that has been now taken or reduced, which is 90-something or 80-something per year, over 3 years, it amounts to almost 300 million. That's land acquisition funds for our park expansion program. And in terms of the targets that you saw on the stress plan, we have a target of 8%. The presidents, in their M&E framework, they have put a target of 10% for us to have a representative sample of our biomes in terms of protection in national parks or provincial protected areas. We are not going to be able to achieve that if there is no other way that Treasury can give back that money to SANParks or to the department. We will not be able to meet those targets. So we will, as I was saying, that again, there have been changes in people, even within Treasury. The people that are running the budget office for our department are different. They are new. They probably have not quite understood yet the business of the department. So we take it that we still have to continue to pursue and make our submissions. Yes. And with Parliament, then, I think, as the committees, I think, as you all pronounced on this money bill, money act, potential of this committee making recommendations or even decisions on us getting more money, I imagine all the other committees are going to be doing the same. So it's still going to be a tug of real war, and Treasury will still have to intervene and decide how they still allocate those funds. So we hope that with that element of the legal element from Parliament would be able to increase and help us to increase our budget. Lastly, let me just say also, I think the other issue on the in relation to the implementation of the law or even implementation of our programs, I mean, there is a point where we have a different emphasis, like this rhino poaching is a new thing. It's becoming a serious, serious matter. We've had to make a decision in the middle, like now, last month in February, to establish a unit, a specialized unit, to deal with that challenge. And we have no financing for that, really. But we have to reprioritize between us and SANParks and the other entities that have an interest in the provinces that can provide the capacity, but it's not going to come easily. Even the agencies, the enforcement agencies in government, the police, the other investigating units, they don't quite have enough resources to help us in this regard. So I do think that, and again, then I'm giving another example. On the climate change, we have a process, and government has pronounced on the importance of developing a climate change policy, which is going to reflect exactly with the responses that the country is going to be embarking upon in relation to the targets that the president has already pronounced upon, or the actions, not necessarily the targets, the bold actions that this country has to take. And we have not received the money for hosting the conference of the party next year. We've received a part of the preparatory funding, which is 4 million. And to even get to the full amount, we hope that during adjustments, we'll be able to get the resources. So these are the things that we are not just probably stating as nice to have for the department. Lastly, I think before I give over to my other colleagues, on this issue of the AG's report, our report, the department's report, is dealt with separately from the entities. The entities have got their boards as accounting authorities. So the pronouncement on their clean audits, they've got unqualified audits, all of these entities, including us as the department. And there's always matters of emphasis. And I think when I was presenting to the committee the annual report, I outlined what were those and where those come from. So the committee still has an opportunity to interrogate us further on in that regard, in terms of where are the matters of emphasis, if there are any matters of emphasis. At least MLRF did not have a matter of emphasis for the first time last year. I don't know whether they won't have them this year, the same as the other entities. In the department, we've had our challenges in terms of asset management, I recall, but I don't remember all the other matters, and we discussed the actions to deal with those matters that were raised by the AG. So it's clear reports. I think I can proudly say they've been reasonably clean, with even the matters of emphasis have not been so significant for this department and its entities for at least for the past period and we hope that we would maintain that standard going forward. And in also the issue of the consultant's usage, honourable members, in the it's been a legal requirement that accounting officers must actually declare those. We reflect them in our annual report every year and say these are the consultants that we've used and this is the amount that they amounted to. So I think we can provide, we can have a session, and Mr. Maseda and Mr. Rafoko can come and present our suppliers database and how often do we update it. But that information on an annual basis we provide as public information. Yes, I'm saying we will provide it, not today, Chair. We will bring it. It's one of those things that the officials could not bring them today here. So we'll make sure that we can bring that and have that session of interrogation of the, including, I think, the issues that relate to the transfers of skills are outlined within the service level agreement and our supply chain with the CFO would be able to even give you examples, I think, on some of the memorandums of agreement that we have signed with the service provider. And then in respect of the comment from the honourable member today on the current and previous targets, I think, that's exactly what we did in our own exercise. But we did not bring that here because we're bringing more close to finished product. So we can reflect, and I think each of the DDGs here and each of the chief directors can say one or two areas. This is where we had a target that we've decided to drop completely, and these are the reasons. But in most instances, we're modifying more than completely dropping them. But I would suggest, I think EQP, Joanne, you had your slides where you indicated those areas where we dropped some of the, or made changes to the targets. Or Peter, if you have that information, please add after my responses. And then the areas of high spending, that's program one in particular. I think we can even provide that detail. I'm assuming if it's possible now, if it's not possible, we can provide that a little later. But certainly it was the IT services. We've had to implement the restructuring process by making sure that we ensure functionality of the two departments independently. Tourism has had to go and buy a server. To have an electronic document management system and all of those other things. So that infrastructure cost had to be borne by the department, and those are the things that we also reflected to in our budget submission to Treasury when we were saying maybe they should give us more money to finance the restructuring. Unfortunately, we were still asked, given partly part of the money, but the rest we still had to reprioritize within what is available to the department. And then the modernization program, whether services can talk to it, but it is more about the infrastructure, radar infrastructure for weather services that is aging, that had to be recapitalized. We did not want to wait until we have the ELCOM situation, honorable members. We went to Treasury on time, and at least the Treasury also managed to then put the funds to that modernization program, and the CFO can, the CEO can also talk to it now or during the presentation of the weather services strategic plan. And then CFO, can you talk to the projected overspending and underspending? And lastly, I think the issue of the disadvantaged people consideration. In our targets, both for employment and people that work for the organization, we've got a target for disabled people, for women, and we work towards achieving those targets. And in terms of the work, if there is a project that we fund, whether it's a waste project, we would then focus on the most vulnerable groups, and the target there is mainly, the majority is women. And maybe coming back to the matter of honourable member about the unsustainability of the intervention, street cleaning not being sustainable, waste management, for instance. One would agree, but also indicate that in terms of the project, if we have a project, the aim is to have the municipality running that, providing that service sustainably, which is why I was talking about hand-holding. So if street cleaning is one aspect of providing a service at a municipal level, as a municipal service, not even a national, but over and above that, it links to where that generally the waste is collected or not collected, and where it gets disposed of, if there is disposal. So we are looking at the whole system. It's not just, and which is why even in our intervention now, the priority is that Indalo Yetu is coming in, there's open space management linked to that, so that we've got a whole host of activities that are environmental in nature that would create the awareness, at least of the municipality and the community, but also over and above that, look at the issues of sustainability. And the landfill, there was a whole audit of landfill sites, which ones are permitted, which ones are not permitted, which ones must be closed. So in those, during that intervention in that municipal area, there's also a closure of a site process and rehabilitation process and so on and so on, hand-holding the municipality in terms of the full spectrum of that environmental activity. So it is not yet, in some areas, it's not as successful as in others, because again, it depends on the level of both the awareness and the commitment also of the municipality, because there's a point where they should have a budget line for these activities. And unfortunately, they have not had that, but we've also had our interactions with the Department of, is it COPTA now, Department of Local Government and Treasury, to look at the financing structure for municipalities, so that these kinds of activities at least have got a budget line from their grants that they receive from the fiscal. Lastly, Honourable Member Mukora, on the monies owed by government departments, as far as I know, we don't owe municipalities, and the CFO can confirm, or Mr. Maseda, because they are the ones that are responsible for making sure that we meet our targets of paying within the 30-day timeline for any of the services in general. And then Peter Luki would be the best to give convincing reasons for the budget, what that relate to the mine pollution dams question of, in relation to the historical damage in Kimberley, as asked by the Honourable Member. Is it Lisa? Okay, Liz. Okay. And our sister department, Water Affairs, I think, Honourable Members, you might have experienced the same if you were phoned what Environmental Affairs asking for a DC board. So, just to be truthful and not, I suspect you might get that same kind of response, not unless you were going to phone the office of the DG. So I do think there is fundamental issues in terms of how we can achieve alignment within the same ministry. And they range, I think we are engaging with Water, firstly. On outcome 10, in terms of the president, we are the lead department. Those problem statements are linked particularly to that outcome 10, because it's not just about us. You talk about environmental outcomes that then link the water sector, the agricultural sector, and even the economic sectors. And mining is part of that. That's why we have that in the problem statement. So
We have a coordinating mechanism that now is defined in terms of service delivery forum by the presidency, and would use that. But as water and environment, as the two departments, we had started discussions on aligning some functions like enforcement. There's potential there. Even our legislation allows for it in terms of the Enforcement Act. On waste management, the permitting functions, in terms of groundwater and contamination studies, they are part of those processes. And they have requested us, as the Environment Department, to also assist them with their backlog in terms of water license permit backlogs. But the details still have to be worked through between the two departments. So there is small things that are happening that should take us to the big step in terms of achieving the overall alignment in terms of the areas of possible cooperation. And then lastly, we do not have the water sector type leadership group. In the department, we have a coordination mechanism with provinces through what we call MINTEC and MINTEC working group system. And in that, there's a working group that looks at issues of capacity, skills, and whatever. So we have a skills sector skills plan. Okay. There's a sector skills plan, but it is informed by that engagement. For the sector, we all probably need environmental officers that are able to process EIAs and make informed decisions. And we also are aware that we have a shortage of experienced people. And in some of the cases, you don't necessarily need people to go to university. There are other ways of dealing with the gap. So we identify those gaps and prioritize them accordingly. And we can provide that kind of a plan for the honourable members. So in terms of women, therefore, we are targeting them as part of the groups that also have to form part of the overall workforce for the department and also within the sector to be able to be versatile enough to have in local government level and even in provincial government level people that can really have skills to work within the Liz, and then Isham, if you want to add to that.
Thank you, DG. I think it is an area, the whole issue around environmental management of mining is an area where the committees both would benefit from a detailed briefing, and I think, DG, we should schedule it. Some of the members that have been involved in the previous portfolio committee would remember the long history around the whole environmental management of mining. So I'm not going to restrict it to Kimberley. I think it is applicable all over the country. Mining is the one sector that is not managed through the environmental management legislation. It falls outside the scope of the National Environmental Management Act, as all of the specific environmental management acts, like the Air Quality Act, like the Waste Management Act, the Biodiversity Act, etc. And that is as a result of a long historical issue of existing mandates that were written into specifically the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act and the Mine Health and Safety Act. So you'll find that air quality and waste management associated with mining is legislated and regulated through the Mine Health and Safety Act, and general environmental management issues like closure, rehabilitation, is managed through the mining through the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act. So we have the odd situation where the department that is, or the ministry or the portfolio that is responsible for the promotion of mineral resource development and therefore mining is also responsible for the protection of the environmental resources so that on which the mining is dependent. We as an authority is a commenting authority only. We do not have a say in whether how the mining happens and whether there is rehabilitation afterwards. We can only provide input towards the mineral processes as described in the Mineral Resource Development Act. Now, in 2008, there has been a process through Parliament
After the relevant ministers agreed that it's not desirable that we have two systems, one for mining and one for everything else in the country, to actually correct this through a phased approach by transferring the environmental management aspects of mining to the National Environmental Management Act, and to specifically make the environmental authority and the environmental portfolio in the bigger sense responsible for setting up all the policy, the standards, the legislation, the regulations that need to be able, both in terms of correction of past or the inherited, the abandoned mines, the mines that haven't got closure, dealing with mine waste, dealing with mine water pollution, etc., to at least provide the ability of the environmental authority and the environmental portfolio to provide the legislation, the policy, and ultimately also to be the implementing agent. And those changes have been effected after very hard work of the portfolio committee and the select committee into legislation towards the end of 2008. Both the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act and the National Environmental Management Act have been amended. The enabling mechanisms to move this function towards environment with all the other functions have been there, but it was on a rider around the implementation. It needs to come into effect 18 months after the coming into effect of one of those two acts, depending on which one came into effect last. The amendments to the National Environmental Management Act came into effect in May last year. The amendments to the Mineral Petroleum Resource Development Act has not yet come into effect, and we have no indication of when it will come into effect. But in the meantime, the two departments have established a mining implementation plan program, which is managed by both the departments, and we are busy with putting the implementation plan in place to enable this transfer of functions and the transfer of responsibilities to the environmental function. The fact that the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act has not come into effect and that there is no indication of when it will come into effect is hugely frustrating this process. So we have come as far as we can with doing the preparatory work, but in the absence of the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Act coming into effect, this is basically the status quo remains, which is that the Department of Mineral Resources and the MPRDA is still managing the environmental management, both in terms of the historical damage as well as the potential future damage of mining, is managed through the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, and we are a commenting authority, not an executing authority.
Thank you. Valentine, still want to add?
As far as the funding for the replacement ship, the polar ship is concerned, that program terminates in April 2012 when the final payment is made and the ship is commissioned. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Tishy, I want to start with the one for donor funds, where we're saying there's going to be a reduction in donor funds. If we look at this slide, you can see we're saying foreign assistance received and projects, you know, like finalized. And we're looking at the MTF and saying, you know, regarding, you know, like the projects that we have in the country, waste management projects will still have to be funded, you know, like fisheries and marine, you know, whatever that we're doing there, research will still have to be funded. And we were leveraging on donor funds. Basically, we are saying as donor funds, you know, are coming, you know, to finality with their projects, the MTAF might be impacted where we want to run with those projects in the outer years. Over and under expenditure in the department, wherever we foresee the possibility of over expenditure, like in property, you know, like expenditure patterns, we've been saying property has been increasing exponentially compared to the allocation of MTAF. We actually communicate those with Treasury and the Department of Public Works, and we also try to reprioritize from the department to fund those. Like, we've also realized in the department that we've always had pressure in compensation of employees.
you know, more especially the fisheries function or MCM, because it is the most, you know, like a involved program with overtime, seagoing allowances, and all the time we reprioritize. And where there's a problem, like in the current year, we communicate upfront to National Treasury while trying to reprioritize funds, you know, within what PFMA is allowing us to do. Thanks, DG.
Last thing, Chair,
before you go there, can I read this statement from National Treasury upon PFMA, which was presented to the Standing Committee on Appropriation on the 19th of March on environmental affairs. Today is the 9th March, not even 10 days. Program 5, your program, biodiversity and conservation, spends 209 million versus a budget of 400 million. Slow spending was due to payment for the biodiversity program being lower than anticipated. It has to explain how to explain that. And then secondly, on program 6, sector services, international relations spend 3.8 million versus a budget of 1.2 billion. The reason being slow spending was due to payment for expanded public works program being lower than anticipated because of the split in the department. The department indicated that they will only reach a spending target of 85%. That is on the EPWP. And then the question is relevant there from honorable member. But the response doesn't agree with what the National Treasury is saying. See, do we agree? Doesn't agree with what the National Treasury is saying. Yeah, and here we are now, members of parliament. Tell us now what.
Chair, I think that's the information that was provided. I think in my comment earlier, I did say that we had a slow spend on EPWP. And those funds are earmarked. There isn't much we can do about them. Earmarked funds are not used for other operational responsibilities, which is why you cannot shift and deal with a normal business. Even if we were to get all of that money, even now, it's not going to help the pressure areas. The pressure areas that we're talking about relate to personnel, enforcement, and all. It's not the EPWP. Including in terms of the biodiversity and conservation, I don't have the details now, but as far as I can recall, honorable members, these are the branches where we transfer money to our entities, and we don't transfer all of that money in the first quarter or second quarter. We phase it also in terms of trying to make sure that we have a way of trading off with the entities. So it's definitely not against what we agree with that report, because we're part of making those submissions, Chair. And in my report earlier on, I did say that the restructuring process has had major impact, both in terms of defining the priorities for funding and rolling out that expanded public works program. Thank you.
DG, I wish Honorable Luyenge was here, because you spoiled the whole thing that he said here, when he said that it's good to listen to you and listen to CFO, because you are saying the same thing. But now you are saying two different things, because what you are saying is what you are supposed to tell us. But yes, there is something within the payment of the, what is it, biodiversity and something, and also programs and the programs. Because we don't want to be surprised when we sit with the National Treasury and say that, but there is an amount of 200 and so much, there is an amount of 300 and so much that has not been used for these two programs. Whereas we now will sit here and say that everything is fine. I mean, what we are saying is, when I started this, I was talking about progress. It's precisely what I was referring to. So that if in a certain program, we have a certain amount that we did not use,
We're not expecting him to take that amount who are going to sell application covered by it, because we want to get rid of that money. But at least let us know that there is this funding and this funding. Because now at the end of the day, when this funding is our national treasure, we'll say that there is something that you're hiding from us. Whereas there is nothing that you're hiding from us. Understand? That's the kind of information that we need. Not from you, from the CFO. Because he's the one who's dealing with this thing. But we understand that we are the accounting officer. But CFO must own it. He must own it. I'm not saying that it's not true or it's true, but what I'm saying, what is correct is what you say is what you must say. But at the end of the day, you are the one who accounts to this world. But time will come where maybe we won't call you and call her alone. And then a week after that, we'll call you and then you say two different things. You see, that becomes a problem. But I just wanted to highlight that because we do get these things from National Treasury. Yes, okay. No, it's fine. You wanted to say something?
I'm saying, Chair, I emphasized Program 1 and the last and the Program 6 when I spoke about the whole restructuring process, because those are the most affected programs. I did not hide that, and I'm sure the CFO did not hide that. Maybe she did not know whether she had to actually explicitly talk about the quarterly expenditure. I did already talk about Program 1 and 6.
All right, I think
the last chair question from the Honorable Chairperson from the SLAP Committee, Honorable Members, was about the 20% split from the MCM, which will be dealt with in the presentation by Mr. Abada. It will not be enough for us to implement the Integrated Coastal Management Act, but the split takes into account the functionality, what is going to make fisheries function work, and what has been the historical way the function was run, and to a greater extent, we agreed with that 2018 to minimize tensions in terms of how much, because already there were a lot of unhappiness with the process, and we did not want to be, we rather be the losers, and we'll be able to still go back to Treasury and request funding for the properly defined activities going forward. So that he will also just talk to quickly when he makes the presentation. Thanks.
Presentation when we come back from lunch, because almost now 12 minutes past 1, and then we'll come back at 2 o'clock. So this year, when we come back, we must see this as a workshop, no? We must just talk, you know, must talk to the issues. I'm not what people are saying I am. I don't like fighting, especially with women. I want fighting men, not women. So then we'll deal with the rest then when we come back, ne? Okay, so, all right, let us.